So first of all, just want to thank Zin and Trudy Namer for hosting tonight, and thank all of you for coming out the week of Pesach. It's not such an easy feat. Thank you to the wives also for letting us come out. Thank you to Rav Yonatan for encouraging this to continue several times a year, the Leil Yuns, which Elio Zarowski started this many years ago. So we recognize and thank him as well. And I guess we'll start. The first speaker is Rav Yossi Levin, who many of us have had the privilege over the past almost year, 9 months, to get to know the Levins a little bit more. What many people may not realize, maybe they do know, I don't know, is that Rabbi Levin is a rabbi of the Jewish Center in Manhattan and is on sabbatical this year. And we haven't had the opportunity yet to hear words of Torah from him, but luckily he decided to come out of retirement for semi-retirement for one night to give us a shiur. And so we thank you, Rabbi Levin.
Thank you, Rabbi Lavenda, and thank you to Ziv and to Trudy for your hospitality. Very characteristic of the beautiful ethic of hospitality and hachnasas orchim that Rachel and I and our family have felt since coming to Yad Binyamin. I want to be respectful of everyone's time, so I want to jump right into the topic that I want to share with you tonight, which is the question and the challenge of yachatz. A couple more source sheets right over here. Now, virtually every part of the Haggadah has a source. We can find the Pasuk, we can find the Mishnah, we can find the Gemara that tells us where to do, what to do with the Seder. You get to yachatz. What's the source for yachatz? Anyone have a source for yachatz? Anyone have a source? Wow, I have not seen or heard that before. But that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Which half do you want to designate to Hashem, and which half are you going to keep? Yeah. So it's a question. Basically, every Haggadah that we have has yachatz. There's even something called the 30-minute Seder. It's even in the 30-minute Seder, probably because it's very, very brief. But the Or Zeruah, if you look at source number one, already noticed this back in the 13th century. He says, Lo matzanu b'talmud shetzarch lasos shalosh matzos shel mitzvah, ela adraba muchach b'yerushalmi delo ba'in en ki'im shtayim. Okay, so we're going to talk about this more in a second, but if you take a step back and wonder what we're even doing with three matzos at the Seder to begin with, Shabbos, Yantif, any other time where you have a Shabbos or Yantif meal, two matzos seems perfectly sufficient. So why would we possibly have an obligation to have an extra matzah on Seder night? Okay, so one of the earliest sources we have that entertains this issue is the Machzor Vitri, which is a contemporary of Rashi from the 11th century. And he tells us right away the answer that I think most of us know. He introduces us to this practice. In source number two, he says, Nagu am lasos gimel kikaros. Why do we have three matzos on the Seder table to begin with? Lefish etzarech lifros achas v'yishtaru hashtayim shleimos lichvod yom tov. So why do we have three matzos on the table? Well, we're going to break one. And at the end of the day, you need to have two whole matzos. Why do you need to have two whole matzos? Lecha Mishnah. Okay, so we all know, at any Shabbos or Yantif meal, you need two whole matzos for Lecha Mishnah. So if you're going to be breaking one, so right away we have some evidence that you're going to need a third. We haven't said anything about why we're breaking one yet, but we at least have an inkling as to why we might need three matzos to begin with. Okay, so the early evidence is that the practice of having three matzos on the Seder plate came from a strictly practical concern, at least in Ashkenaz. We'll talk about Sfarad in a second. But the thinking went like this. Okay, as far as Lecha Mishnah goes, Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos. Seder night, you have to be sure to have Lecha Mishnah. You're going to need two whole matzos. But the Gemara also says that on Seder night, we eat Lechem Oni. Okay, and Lechem Oni means that you have what's a poor man's bread? A poor man's bread is not whole. A poor man's bread is broken, right? A prusa, and you can see this in the Gemara in source number three. This is the end of the Gemara. Davaracha lechem oni, oniksiv, right? It's a kind of play on words. We don't say ani in the pasuk, we say oni, but if the same letter spelled the word ani, ma'ani shadarko beprusa, afkan beprusa. So three matzos were quite prevalent in Ashkenaz. In Sfarad, there's a totally different story. Okay, I want to share a Rambam with you. And if you haven't seen this Rambam before, it's going to seem very surprising. Okay, source number four, this is the Rambam in Chametz Matzvah, Perek Ches Halacha Vav, straight out of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, not an obscure Rambam. He's telling us how to run the Seder. Okay, so he gets up to the end of Magid, and he tells us now it's time to wash. V'achrakach, you see source four. V'achrakach mevarach al netilas yadayim. Okay, so you get up and you do netilas yadayim. V'notel yadav shniyah. By the way, this is the second time we're doing it. Why we did it already right at the beginning? Kaddish Urchatz, that's already the second stage of the Seder. So why are you doing it again? He says sharehi sichtaiter b'shas. Kriyas Haggadah. It's a break. You know, Magid, you had a lot of things going on between the time you did Netilas Yadayim last time, so it's probably a little disconnected from the Netilas Yadayim you should be doing before you eat matzah in this case and make hamotzi, so you wash again. Now, what's the procedure? What do? You sit back down at the table, below kach shnei rikikin, and you take two matzos. Cholek echad mehen, umaniach paruch lesoch shalem. What do? You break one of them, put half aside, and you take one and a half, and you hold it. Umevarach hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and you say the bracha, motzi lechem min haaretz. Umipnei ma'enu mevarach al shtei kikaros. He says, oh, and by the way, this is different. Every other Shabbos or Yantif meal, we'd be using two whole matzos. Here we're only using one and a half. Why is that? He quotes the Gemara we just saw in Arvei Psachim, source number 3. So you see what the Rambam is telling us? The Rambam is telling us on every other yantif, lecha mishnah means two whole matzos. On Pesach, lecha mishnah doesn't mean two whole matzos. Because the ikur, right, the real essence of the mitzvah is to use lechem oni. So one of those, maybe even both, but at least one of those matzos should be broken.
So you should have less than normal.
Yeah, exactly. So notice, first of all, how many matzos did the Rambam have on his Seder plate?
Two.
There's no mention, there's no reference at all to a third matzah. Okay? And notice also, when did he do yachatz?
After.
Way at the end of Magid, right? We do it right up front, before Magid, at the very beginning of the Seder. He's doing Magid right before Hamotzi, after Netilas Yadayim, functionally at Hamotzi, right? Okay, so two wild issues that emerge from this Rambam. And this was the position of the Rif in Morocco. This was the position of Rabbeinu Hananel in Tunisia. Until, I want to say, 13th, 14th century, the Sephardim were using two matzos. Okay, has anyone ever been to a Seder where somebody used only two matzos? I have not. I have not seen this practice. My understanding is that since the 13th, 14th century, Sephardim adopted the Ashkenazic practice, and now it's basically universal. Everybody uses three matzos at the Seder. Okay. Not?
Temanim.
Temanim use how many?
Two.
Because of the Rambam. They're still holding like the Rambam. Okay, amazing. Right, whatever you want to call. Okay. And of course, this emerges basically, and this is amplified, verified by the Gemara in Brachos, which just tells us very briefly in the interest of time, Amar of Papa, the very end, HaKol Modim BePesach Sheminiach Prusa B'Soch Shleima Ubotzeya. You could tell me, you could debate, right, what's better, a whole piece or half a piece, any other 364 days of the year. But Leil HaSeder, the Prusa is going to take precedence, a piece is going to certainly be better than a whole matzah. A number of years ago at our shul, the Jewish Center, we always serve Sudan Shlishi all year round, including Pesach. So if there's a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we have Sudan Shlishi. We don't serve very much, because what are you going to serve on Shabbos Chol HaMoed? But a little tuna fish, a little egg salad, a few pickles, and some matzah, so people can have Lecha Mishnah for Sudan Shlishi. Okay, so we set up Sudan Shlishi in the auditorium. This could never happen in Israel, but we daven in our shul, we come down. On the first floor is the auditorium, where the maintenance staff sets up the Sudan Shlishi. So we come down after Mincha, Shabbos afternoon, and all the boxes of matzah are empty. All the matzos have been taken out of the boxes. and they've all been broken in two. There's like no whole matzah anywhere in the building. So I went over to the maintenance guy and said, how did this happen? And he said, you know, I saw we had a kind of a big crowd. I wasn't sure we would have enough. So I did you the favor of breaking all the matzos in two. So sometimes yachatz happens even when we're not anticipating it. Okay. What did we do? We set hamotzi on a half a matzah. Okay. By the time we get to the 14th century, except the Teimanim, all the Sfaradim have adopted the Ashkenazic practice. They're using three matzos. You could see in sources number 6a, 6b. I just found a couple of 14th, 15th century Sfaradi Haggadahs where you could see, right? Look at 6a. This is something they call the Golden Haggadah. Velokeach shalosh matzos. This is a 15th century Spanish Haggadah using three matzos. You can see the famous Sarajevo Haggadah, which they think is from about the 14th century. Look on the third line, end of the third line. Vayikach min ha-matzos, v'yachalek osa. You take one of the matzos, you split it, l'shtayim into two. Meniach chetzya tachas ha-mapa, v'chetzya ben shtei shlemos. Okay, so if you take the broken one, put it in between two whole ones, obviously they were starting with three. Okay, so I want to wrap up the first section. I titled this shir, Breaking the Yachatz Code, the Historical and Theological Significance of the Seder's Most Ephemeral Mitzvah. So I want to wrap up the history section of this shir with a theory propounded by Professor Israel Tashma. So he brings to our attention a fascinating source called the Sefer Chiluf Minhagim. Okay, and in the Sefer Chiluf Minhagim, we find out a piece of historical information which may give us a clue as to how this whole issue began. Source number 7, the Sefer Chiluf Minhagim, tells us the following. Anshei Bavel. Okay, there was a difference in practice between the Anshei Eretz Yisrael and the Anshei Bavel. But in Babylon, what they used to do, Keshachal Pesach B'Shabbos. If Pesach would fall out on Shabbos, like it does this year, what's the difference when Pesach falls out on Shabbos? When Pesach falls out on Shabbos, there's a few differences. One of them is that Kiddush is De'oraisa, right, as opposed to just part of the Arba Kosos. Normally it's just a Derabana. And this year, the first kos that you use might be a slightly bigger shear. Okay, there is a difference because it's Shabbos, so Kiddush is De'oraisa. But another difference is that independent of whatever you want to tell me about Lecha Mishnah and the needs for Lecha Mishnah on Leil HaSeder, it's also Shabbos. So you could argue till you're blue in the face that Pesach, Seder night, maybe a half is better than a whole, and you should only be using a fraction, a piece of a matzah. Very nice, but it's still Shabbos, and Shabbos, you need two whole matzos. So Anshei Bavel, Keshachal Pesach B'Shabbos, Meniach Prusa Ben Shtei Shlemos, Uvechol Al Achas. So in Bavel, they used to have a practice that what they would do was, if Pesach fell on any other night of the year, they would use one and a half matzos. That would be totally sufficient.
Start with one and a half?
No, they'd use two and end up breaking one and have one and a half for Lecha Mishnah. But if it fell on Shabbos, they would have three so that after they broke one, you'd still have two left to make sure that you had a full Lecha Mishnah for Shabbos. So as Professor Tashma suggests, it may well be that there was a time when the norm was to use two matzos. Only on a Friday night, when there was an independent obligation of Lecha Mishnah, was there a need for a third matzah. Eventually, so as not to neglect Lecha Mishnah on years when Pesach fell out on Friday night, like it does this year, using three matzahs became the standard practice in Ashkenaz, and eventually spread to the Levant and to Sfarad, and somewhere around the 13th, 14th century, what began as an Ashkenazic practice, and really an Ashkenazic chumrah, right, to cover us when Pesach fell out on Friday night, became a universal practice. And parenthetically, fascinating, just to know historically, in the 17th, 18th century, we also find that on some Seder tables, there would be a fourth matzah. Anyone ever hear of this? Fourth matzah. Why would you need a fourth matzah? Vehevesi. Right. That's a fifth, right? Fourth matzah. Backup matzah, right? You want to make sure to get your shlemos, and you know these things happen. Sometimes you have a broken matzah, so they'd have a backup matzah. Okay. To sum up what we've seen so far, Pesach, we place an added emphasis on lechem oni. The Gemara says means a piece of a matzah rather than a whole. Sfaradim were perfectly content, as we saw from the Rambam, substituting half a matzah for a whole one, says to have lechem mishnah. It seems at least then Pesach fell out on Friday night. The Ashkenazim insisted on having two al matzos in addition to the piece. Hence the evolution of three matzos at the Seder. Some communities even morphed into four. Okay, so at least we have some clarity about the history.
Did you say where the sefer is from?
Yeah, I have to go back and look. Yeah, it's from the Gaonim. No. So, but we have nothing. We have nothing now about the symbolism, the deeper meaning, the theology. We have to dig a little deeper. Okay, and we have to talk about Afikomen if we have time.
Or did that only end when they were at the third month?
No, Afikomen was always, there was always an independent thing called Afikomen.
Correct.
Long before we ever heard of Yachatz, we have Afikomen in the Mishnah.
So that was part of the second matzah when there were only two.
Perhaps. I mean, the Afikomen might have just referred to the very last thing that you eat at the Seder. I have to explore what Afikomen means. Okay. Now, I just want to back up for a second. Okay, because we're still left wondering about two very obvious questions. If the requirement is to use a broken matzah on Seder night, then let's use a broken matzah on Seder night. Okay, I can assure you, if what goes on in Israel is anything like the United States, in the box of shmura matzah that you order, 90% of the matzahs are pre-broken. Okay, so I don't know if it's the manufacturer or the shipper or the retailer, somebody, right, made sure that 90% of our matzahs are pre-broken. Janet, right, the maintenance staff, and somebody broke the, so very nice. You could tell me, you could argue, and it's a very fine argument, that the preference on Seder night is to use a prusa. So put a prusa on the Seder plate. You need to have a whole ceremony called Yachatz where you break the matzah? Just give me a prusa. Okay, question number one. Question number two. If the whole conversation is about Lecha Mishnah, then the Rambam makes perfect sense. Let's do Yachatz when we're making Hamotzi. After Netilas Yadayim, let's do Yachatz when the Rambam says to do Yachatz. What are you backing up Yachatz for? We just sat down. We haven't done anything yet. And Kaddish Orchatz, yeah, the very first thing right after Kiddush, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, before you've said anything about Vigatz Labincha, we've accomplished almost nothing of the Seder. You jump right to Yachatz. What is Yachatz so important that we're doing it right at the beginning of the Seder? Okay. Now, to achieve clarity on these questions, I want to think about another dimension. Okay, we've been discussing up until this point the halachic implications of having two versus three matzos. But what about the symbolic, philosophical, theological implications? Is the notion of using three matzos at the Seder simply this accident of history, or can we identify some deeper significance to this practice? Now, incidentally, a number of years ago, I was researching this topic, and I discovered that Yachatz is actually a picturesque coastal town in Oregon. Okay, Y-A-C-H-A-T-S, Yachatz. You could Google it. So I was very interested to know what goes on in the town of Yachatz. There's
that's
no Chabad.
They break all the matzah.
Exactly. That's where it goes on. So there's no Chabad anywhere within 100 miles. Maybe since the time I researched it, that's changed. So I called the Chamber of Commerce to find out if there was a Jewish community in Yachatz and what they might do special regarding Yachatz in Yachatz. So it turns out I spoke to a volunteer who was a former minister and interested in ecumenical work. He's very happy to chat with me. Very interested in a phone call from a rabbi in New York City researching Yachatz. And I said, have you ever seen a Seder? Do you know? See, he knew all about it. But he said, and this is basically a quote, he said, Rabbi, I'm sorry to share with you. I know that Yachatz is in the Seder, but I'm sorry to tell you there is no Seder in Yachatz. And I said, those are the breaks. Okay. So returning to our search for meaning, have a look with me, if you will, at source number eight, the very old source from the Sefer HaManhig, Rav Avraham ben Rav Natan of Lunel, Provence, in the 12th century. So he says something very interesting, which gives us a clue into what Yachatz is all about, and I want to argue what the Seder is all about, and really what I want to argue is that Yachatz gives us insight into the way to frame everything that we're doing on Seder night. And it starts here. Sefer HaManhig writes, V'nagu b'tzarfas, he says, this is what used to go on in Provence, in southern France. Nagu b'tzarfas lasos ha-gimel matzos me'asiris ha'efa zecher le'trumas lachme toda. What was the minhag in Tzarfas? What did they used to do? They used to make their three matzos from a very specific amount of flour as a commemoration to the lachme toda. What's he talking about? Look at the next source. Source number nine. Okay, so we all know that there's something which in temple times was called the Korban Todah. We still have a shemitz of it, Bizman Hazeh, which is we bench Gomel. Four occasions that would necessitate somebody bringing a Korban Todah, which was a kind of shlamim in temple times. In the absence of the temple, we bench Gomel. What are the four occasions that would necessitate someone bringing a Korban Todah? You cross a sea, cross a desert, recover from a life-threatening illness, or you're released from prison. Okay? Any of those things happen, you'd bring a Korban Todah. Now, the Korban Todah happens to be, you could look in source number 9, and there's prisons. No, people could be taken captive, and as we'll see in a second, even the status that we had in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in certain ways, that was also like a prison, because we didn't have freedom, and eventually we were freed from our house of bondage, we sometimes even call it. So if you look in source number 9, part of the Korban Todah was a Zevach Shlamim, okay, so you had to bring this huge animal, but in addition to bringing a big piece of meat and consuming a big piece of meat, you would also bring, what would you bring? 40 loaves, right? 40 loaves. And how did the loaves get broken down? 10 loaves were of chametz, right? And 10 loaves were, and 30 loaves were matzah. Okay. So the minhag in Ashkenaz, which already the Sefer HaManhig alerts us to in source number 8, and we'll see other references in a second from the Bali Tosfos, tells us that something about the three matzos was designed to remind us of the Korban Todah, beginning with the amount of flour that was used, right, would correspond precisely to the amount of flour that would go in to each of the matzos that accompanied the Korban Todah. Okay, just by the way, we're in left field here. We don't know what this has to do with Yachatz. We're going to come to that in a minute. Okay, included in the Korban, three kinds of matzos. And what the Sefer HaManhig is saying is that we use three matzos on Seder night to represent these three kinds of lechem. And you could find this again all across Ashkenaz. You can see in source number 10, the Rokeach, one of the Baalei Tosfos, Masha Osin Gimel Matzos Min Hamida Achas Shel Pesach Dumia Detoda Kashiyatzu Mitzrayim Havekimo Hayotze Mibes Hasurin. So this is what came up in my conversation with Akiva. There's something that requires us to bring a Korban Todah on Leil HaSeder. We were just freed from our house of bondage, and really, on some level, we should be bringing a kind of communal Korban Todah. So we're not bringing a Korban Todah, but we're going to do something which reminds us of the Korban Todah, and the three matzos at least bring us into the kind of mindset of the actual Korban Todah. Yeah, so we're not going to be able to manage 30, but the measure that we use of flour, and I can't get into all the, you can see it here in source number 11, but it corresponds exactly. And again, just in the interest of time, I'll summarize, but what they used to do, they would take 20 estronim of flour, 10 to make 10 loaves of bread, and 10 to make 30 matzos. Okay, so each isaron of the Todah produced 3 matzos, and what they would do in Ashkenaz, everyone's getting ready for the Seder, they would take exactly one isaron, so that, how big's your matzos? This big, is it? This big, is it? So it was exactly, it was a standard size to correspond precisely to the standard size of the matzos that were used in a Korban Todah. Okay.
You could argue all four reasons for Korban Todah,
I'm ready, go ahead.
All four were part of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
I love it. That's exactly what the Gra says. Where do you see all four reasons of Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Left prison,
cross the sea,
cross the desert, saved from death.
Ah, okay, fascinating. So I always thought it was a little different, which is life-threatening illness. You're saying the looming plagues. We could have been killed. Makos Bukharos. Well, that's later. Makos Bukharos. Yes, I always thought it was. The Medrash about Har Sinai. The Medrash says explicitly that when we get to Har Sinai, anyone who's suffering from any kind of illness or physical defect was healed, which is why in the United States every hospital is called Mount Sinai. Okay. One of the reasons we don't say, correct, on Chol HaMoed and on Erev Pesach. Right. Because of the bread that was included, right? So we couldn't bring a korban todah on Seder night. It's impossible because the korban todah requires chametz. Okay. That being said, what I want to argue is that something about the Seder night wants us to capture the spirit of the korban todah. Okay, beginning with the amount of the number of matzos on the table and the shear that went in to producing those matzos. In addition to that, I'll add the following. I haven't mentioned this yet, but the only two kinds of korbanos that have an explicit requirement that they be consumed in their entirety with nothing left over in the span of only a single day and a single night are the korban todah and the korban pesach. Okay. Now I want to take it to the next level. Okay, let me share with you one further thought, and then we'll begin to tie things together. Now, there's one further reason that's on the books for why we perform yachatz from a symbolic perspective, and this can be found in a few sources. You can see in the Or HaChaim or the Das HaKeinim. On source number 12, you could look in the bold. V'yesh nos nimtam acher al betziasa zecher lekriyas yamsuf. Okay, there's one other splitting, quite famously, that takes place in the course of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is Yam Suf. Okay, and I actually just discovered this very recently, but there is in the Moroccan Haggados, they have, right at the beginning, right at Yachatz, they have an Arabic piyut that they include, singing the praises of Yam Suf, right as they, I don't know if it's before or after, perform Yachatz. There's an entire school of thought that says that we split the matzah to commemorate the splitting of the Red Sea, and it actually fits perfectly. Okay, let me start to tie things together. So yes, we're eating the poor man's bread, the lechem oni, and that symbolizes the bondage from which we've been freed, necessitating a korban. But the matzah itself is not sufficient. Okay, we deepen the symbolism. It's not just that we put three matzos, somehow remember the korban todah. Right. The idea is we break the matzah to produce the memory of the most famous split in the Exodus story, the splitting of the Red Sea. And lest the link between Pesach and Todah be lost on anyone at the Seder, we symbolically recreate the image of Yam Suf, which is, among the four reasons, probably the single most compelling moment of salvation of the Holy Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, a moment that assuredly calls on us to offer a Korban Todah. We hadn't crossed the desert yet, right? We hadn't been totally freed. But Yam Suf itself would necessitate a Korban Todah. And now we can answer all our remaining questions.
It necessitates 3 million.
Correct. Everyone would have to bring a Korban Todah, a national Korban Todah. We don't just need a broken piece of matzah, right? This is my question at the beginning. We start with a whole matzah, and we proactively break the matzah to set the stage for the entire Seder. It's a reenactment of Yam Suf, which sets into motion our meal of Thanksgiving. That's why we do it at the beginning. In fact, it frames all of Magid. We start with Yam Suf, and how does Magid end?
As Yashar.
Well, it ends with Yam Suf. The very end of Magid, we say the first two paragraphs of Hallel, Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. Okay, we return. The whole of Magid begins with Yachatz right before Magid. Hayam Ra'a Vayanos at the end of Magid. The whole Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is framed by the most compelling reason to necessitate a Korban Todah. I'll take it one step further. It's actually the meaning of Magid. It's actually the meaning of the book we call the Haggadah. Of course we call it that because V'igadta L'bincha, we're telling the story. But you know the other meaning? Right, we say this, Arami Ovid Avi, look at source number 13. It's the Targum. It's how the Targumim in Aramaic translate the word Higati. Right, this is what the farmer says in Arami Ovid Avi, the Bikurim Uvasa Elakohein Asher Yieh Bayimim Ahem V'Yamarta Ilav. What's the first thing he says? Higati Ayom LaShem Elokecha. How do they translate it? Odinin Yoma. I praise. I thank Hashem, right? The word Haggadah, the word Magid, is all about Todah. Yes, the Pesach Seder is about Vigat L'Bincha, transmitting the Masorah to the next generation, but it's also a national meal of thanks. Now, and let me just say parenthetically, and I'm running out of time, but I'll wrap up with a couple final thoughts. So much of what goes on at the Seder is lost on us. We lack the appreciation because we're not sensitive to the mindset of someone living in the Zman HaMikdash. Okay. So for instance, we say in Manishtana, Manishtana alayla ze mikol halosha b'chol halos anu ochlim chamei tzu matzah alayla ze kulo matzah. And we translate it badly. We say that on all of the nights we eat chametz or matzah, and tonight only matzah. What's the real question?
And matzah.
We're saying matzah.
Chametz u'matzah. So when do we do that? When do we eat chametz u'matzah? When you had a korban todah. Any kid who had ever lived in the time of the Mikdash and was ever at a korban todah meal would totally pick that up. And he'd say, 1 second, if this is a meal of national Thanksgiving, Abba, Ima, I don't get it. Where's the lechem, right? We should have both, chametz u'matzah. Right? Or think about the third question, which we actually changed. But the third question in the Mishnah is, shebechol elos anu ochlim basar tzli, shalukum uvashal alel azek kulo tzli. Tonight only roasted, right? What's going on? There's no requirement to roast the korban todah. You could eat it any way you want. The kid, right? You'd be totally sensitive. It's totally lost on us because we're not living in a world of korbanos. But if you were, it would be so obvious to any child. Okay. So let me share with you one last source, which is the Abarbanel in source number 15, and then I will turn things over to my esteemed colleagues. The Abarbanel writes the following, and this is the last point I want to share with you. There's something very special about the Korban Todah and something very special about the Korban Pesach as well, by extension. The Korban Todah, I'll just summarize it for you. You can see in source number 15. The Abarbanel says, there's an amazing requirement, which I mentioned a moment ago. The Korban Todah has to be finished like that. You got to do it one day and one night. And it's huge! You got to polish off this whole animal, 40 loaves of bread, matzah and bread together. It's impossible, right? There's no way you could possibly manage it on your own, however big your family is, so you have no choice but to invite over your friends and neighbors. And the Abarbanel says, what's going to happen when you invite them over? You're going to say, what's the occasion? And you're going to say, I want to tell you what happened to me. There was a nace. I thought I was going to die, and Hashem saved me. And they'll say, oh, can you tell me the story? And I want to know the details. And the whole evening will emerge into a Thanksgiving celebration predicated on the retelling of the story of your salvation. That's the whole frame of the Korban Todah. And that's exactly what goes on Seder night. Everything about Pesach begins with inviting people in to help expand the notion of Todah that we begin with. Exactly. Exactly. So the first Ramah in Hilchos Pesach, Maos Chitim. Let's bring everyone in. Right. And the first part of the Seder, Halachmanya. Isn't it too late to invite? No, you couldn't start the Seder any other way because you need to invite people in to share the Thanksgiving story, that is the Korban Pesach, and that is the Seder experience itself. The Medrash says, in the end of days, all the other Korbanos will be canceled. The only Korban that'll be left is the Korban Todah. It's the whole ethic. It's the whole ethic of who we are, and it's so crucial. And I think sometimes this gets missed on Seder night. I think that as a people, we tend to be pretty good about saying thank you to Hashem. It's easy for us. We say every day, Mode Ani, we get to Shul, we sing Hallel, Hodu Lashem Kitov, Hodu Lashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasto. We're pretty good about benching Gomo, we're pretty good at saying thank you to Hashem. The best would be if this ethic could spill over into every other part of our lives. To be able to recognize and to thank every kind of person who we benefit from in our lives. Our spouse, our children, our parents, our family, our friends, our coworkers, all the people that we take for granted on a day-to-day basis, to be able to just create this ethic of saying, Todah, thank you. Recognizing with as much specificity as we can, putting it in a narrative, putting it in a story form to say, this is how you affected me, this is how you affected my life, and as a result, I want to say, Todah. And if we can pull that off, then we'll have transformed an accident of history, yachatz, just breaking a matzah, into a frame for the entire Haggadah, beginning with Yam Suf, ending with Yam Suf, giving us the reason, the rationale, to not just thank Hashem, but to become thankful people so that we can carry this ethic from Seder night into every other aspect of our lives.